Before we get started, it does my heart good just to see just the number of children that are here. And this is something I haven't said a lot in the past, but if you remember, those of you who have been with us throughout the whole time, part of the reason that we set up City on Hill the way we did, there is no youth church, everything is here. Because it's been what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart when we started this, was that the Word of God is true, and that we need to have an expectation for our children to hear that Word and receive that Word, and to not think that, I understand a lot of things that are said children won't understand, but the Bible says the Word never returns void. So as we speak the Word of God and we bring children into the adult Word of God, that Word is getting into their hearts and their souls. And we should have an expectation. And in the 11 years we've been here, Donna and I have been amazed at how many children we have seen that have just sometimes just come through. But they will tell us things that will report either back to us or to their parents or their grandparents back to us. Things that they saw, things that they learned, things that they knew that was straight from the Word of God. So if we have an expectation for the children to hear the Word and receive the Word, not tamped down, but the fullness of the Word of God, they will receive that, and it will be seeds in their hearts. I remember that I heard this years and years ago. There was a substitute teacher that went into a school, and she came in like halfway in the school year, and it was a sudden coming in. She didn't get a lot of preparation, and in her desk drawer, she saw all the names of the children, and she saw all of their IQs. And so as the school year went through by the rest of the year, a lot of parents were kind of distraught. Some parents were thrilled, others were distraught. Because some parents who had children that had struggled in school under her teaching, they had raised up and they had had a marvelous year. They learned, they grew. But there was other parents who were distraught because their children who always excelled and done well really struggled under her teaching. And they were trying to figure out what was happening. And then at the end of the school year, they realized that these names with numbers that the teacher had that she thought were their IQ numbers, was actually their locker numbers. So she was teaching to what she thought their level was. So if she had expectations for those children to excel, those children excelled. And for those that she had no expectations, they did not excel. I think sometimes we don't have enough high expectations for our children to hear the Word of God and let the Word of God take root and let the Word of God grow and develop as the Holy Spirit intends. So I say all that because that's why I'm thrilled to see children. Even if you don't think they're hearing it, the Word is getting in there. All right, Word of God for today. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Not quite done, almost, almost. So we started this whole year. We started the year with a challenge to learn to operate with an audacity of faith. And we looked at some of the examples that we saw from the Bible, like Moses and like Paul and others. And we also learned that if we're going to take that step forward into the year with an audacious kind of a faith, the first step that we have is to learn to listen and hear His voice as He speaks to us. Now, we spent much of last week learning about that, learning to hear from the Lord from the example of Samuel, when Samuel was a little boy. And when Samuel was serving or ministering to God in the tabernacle in Shiloh, and he was ministering under the teaching, under the instruction and the tutelage of Eli. And we saw that on the night that God called Samuel by name, Samuel, not realizing that it was the voice of the Lord and thinking it was the voice of Eli, Samuel runs to Eli and says, "Here I am. You called me." And Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So this happens three times, and then finally Eli, it dawns on him, this is the voice of the Lord speaking to Samuel. And so he says to Samuel, "If the Lord calls you again, this is what you must say." And the words of instruction that Eli gave to Samuel are words that we should hear and that we should heed in our own lives today as well. And Eli told Samuel, "If the Lord calls you again, you must say this, 'Speak, Lord. Your servant hears.' Speak, Lord. Your servant hears." We saw from the example of Samuel in Samuel's life, in direct contrast to the sons of Eli, who were evil, we saw that the one who learns to hear the voice of the Lord continues to grow in the Lord and grow in the things of the Lord and grows into the things of the kingdom of God. But we also saw, conversely, just like Eli's evil sons, the one who learns to hear the voice of the world is also going to grow. But like the sons of Eli, they're going to grow fat in the things of the world. So the question is, which one of these are we? And of even more importance, which one of these do we want to be and wish to be? Now, as I've studied this out, I am firmly convinced that Samuel was a transition for Israel. It was a transition for Israel at a key moment in Israel's history. Because at that time, the people of God, God's own people, they had turned away. Their hearts had grown cold towards God. The hearts of God's people, they were serving themselves instead of serving God. And they had no repentance at all. And we saw that in the text it says that the lamp of God, the very light of God in the tabernacle in those days, the light of God was about to go out. But Samuel is the transition. He's the transition from what Israel had become, cold, turned away from God, to what God intended for his people, and to what God intended for even beyond his people, what God intended for all of mankind. Because remember, Samuel's the one who learned to hear the voice of the Lord. And Samuel is the one who spoke and anointed David as the king of Israel, establishing the kingdom of David. And it's from David that came Jesus, who brought with him the kingdom of God. And because you and I have accepted Jesus, we've accepted his death, his resurrection, and his ascension back into heaven, that kingdom of God now is within us. And we focused at the end last week on this. The light of God, the lamp of God in the tabernacle, the light of God in the tabernacle was about to go out in Samuel's day. And it reminds us of the importance of you and I, because we have the light of Jesus within us. We are the light of Jesus to the world, and we need to make sure that we are stirring that light of Jesus at all times, stirring that light, keeping that light bright, making sure that the world's influence doesn't hide or cover. Stir that light of Jesus so that the world can see the light of Jesus. It's time for a transition in this church, not this church, in the church in general. It is time for transition. And that means there needs to be Samuels. You and I need to be the Samuels of today. We need to become Samuel. Now again, as I studied this out, I truly believe this to be true also. The time that we are in, I believe that we are in a spiritual period today that is not that different from the spiritual period in the days of Samuel. In those days, Eli was the priest and Eli was the judge of Israel. But Israel as a nation and Israel as a people of God had turned away from God. They had turned away from the covenant relationship that God had established with them. Well, in our nation today, a nation that was founded on the Word of God, our nation today has also turned away from God. But even worse, the people of God, just like in Samuel's day, the people of God themselves have, the body of Christ lacks the intimacy of a relationship that is to come along with the new covenant in Jesus' blood. It's time for a transition today in our nature and even in our church. It's time for a transition. Just like it was in the days of Samuel. And because it's a time for a transition, that means you and I, we have to learn to listen and hear his voice and recognize his voice so that we can act and we can speak the word that he speaks to us. Now, let's look together at 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. This is the calling of Samuel. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." And he said, "I did not call you, lie down again." And he went and he lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call you, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. So he ran, he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." There's so much there. Obviously, we're not going to go through all of that today, but this is, I want us all to be on the same page and understanding exactly what was taking place on the day, the night that God called Samuel, so that we can glean from this and learn how to hear, listen and hear his voice and recognize his voice ourselves on a daily basis. It's time for you and I. You and I who are as kings and priests, according to Revelation. It is time for you and I to be like Samuel and to listen and hear his voice. And if we can do that, then with a sincerity of the heart and with an audacity of faith, we can then follow the example of Samuel and we can say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." When you say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears," you are saying, "Jesus, I am yielding myself. I'm listening to nothing. I am shutting out the world. Jesus, I'm listening for you. I'm listening to hear your voice. Speak, because your servant hears." There's an expectation and an anticipation that because I've invited him to speak, I will hear what he says to me. Now, last week I shared with you guys what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has been showing me. And for the last 2 months, what he's been telling me to do is to be more diligent in learning to hear his voice. And again, I'm not saying that you have to do this. I'm giving this as an example for what he has done with me. What he's told me to do is when I lay down at night, before I go to sleep, I put all my pillows up against the headboard and I sit up straight in bed and I just close my eyes and I say, in one way or another, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Speak, Lord, your servant wants to learn how to hear you clearly." And he's been teaching me. Some nights I hear things, some nights I see things, some nights nothing at all, but it's a process and I'm learning. And that's the important thing. This is a time, it's a time of transition for the body of Christ. It's a time of transition for the body of Christ so that it can be a transition in this nation as well. And that means we have to be the ones who are diligent to learn to listen and hear his voice and recognize his voice so we can then speak his voice or speak his word, just as Samuel did. Now, given what I just told you about the Holy Spirit's teaching me, those of you who know me well, you've heard this before, but my pastor, the man who's taught me more spiritually than anyone else in my life, Jim Mankey, years ago, this is what he said to me. He said, this is a lesson that he calls first voice. And he said, "Todd, you need to make sure that the first voice that you hear every day when you get up, make sure the first voice that you hear is the voice of Jesus. Before you turn on the TV, before you turn on the radio," he knew I was in radio at the time, "before you listen for the weather forecast, even before you have a conversation with your wife, make sure that the first voice that you hear every day is the voice of the Lord, and he will honor that, and he will speak, and you will hear." Now, I learned a great lesson from that, but then the Holy Spirit told me to take it a step further. And the Holy Spirit told me, don't just listen, make my voice the first voice. Make sure that my voice is the last voice when you lay down to go to sleep. And I'm not going to go through it all. I've taught on it before. But he told me to do that because this is how you make sure that the troubles and problems of today, you don't carry them over to the next day. You make sure that, and this is what I would do. I would lay down and I would just listen. And I would think about and reflect upon the things that I had spoken to him or he had spoken to me. I would reflect on the word of God that I had read that day and the things he had shown me. I'd reflect on those things. And that would be the last thing before I went to sleep. And then I'd wake up and I'd listen to his voice as the first voice. So now I add to those two things the fact that make sure that even before you put your head down on the pillow, sit up, be diligent. Learn to listen and hear my voice. I tell you all of these things, and I'm sharing this with you today because I want us to be part of the transition of this culture back to Jesus Christ. I want us to be part of that transition. But that means we need to learn to listen. We need to learn to hear his voice. We need to learn to recognize his voice. And hearing the word that he speaks to us, then we need to speak, whether it's in private or whether it is public, whatever he instructs you to do, the word that he gives you, you need to speak. We need to learn to speak those words. Speak the words that he gives us. Now, in that chapter we've been looking at, we just read part of it. In that chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you look at the end of that chapter, you're going to find that the last verse in that chapter is tied directly to the first verse of chapter 4, and it's in a very important way. So this is the last verse of 1 Samuel 3 and the first verse of 1 Samuel chapter 4. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to all of Israel. There's more that's there. We'll look at that another time. But again, I want you to hear this. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Samuel learned to listen to hear the voice of God. Samuel learned to hear the voice of God, and God then, in response to that, God appeared again in Shiloh at the tabernacle. And God revealed himself by the word of God to the one who learned to listen and hear his voice. And then having learned to listen and hear, and hearing the word that the Lord spoke, then Samuel spoke that word to all of Israel. And so it is to be with you and I. Now with that in your mind, I'm going to share with you a couple of verses that you've probably read dozens of times in your life. But I want you to consider these verses from Isaiah chapter 50. I want you to consider these verses in context of what we're learning and talking about today. This is Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. We're supposed to be speaking the word of God that we have. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. Doesn't that sound like hearing the first voice? First voice, last voice? He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. He's awakening your voice to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. When it says that you have the ear of the learned there, it means one who is being taught. And it also means one who has become accustomed to something. We need to become accustomed to hearing the word of the Lord. We need to become accustomed to being taught, hearing the word and being taught. This is not a time to turn away because that's being rebellious against God. We need to learn to listen and hear. We need to learn to be taught the word of God so that we ourselves can then speak that word. Again, whether it's private or whether it's public, it's whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. But you need to know the word of God and speak that word into your life, into your spouse's life, into the life of the church, into the world in general as the Lord teaches you. It's the ear of the learned. And the Bible tells us you have the ear of the learned. So if you've sat back and you said to yourself, well, I've listened, I just don't hear. Forget that. Wash all that out of your mind. You have the ear of the learned. So if you will just say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. You will learn. He will teach you to hear. He'll teach you how to hear. He's given you the ear of the learned. Now, I said earlier that I think that we are in a spiritual period that is similar to the period of Samuel and Eli. And I believe that to be entirely true. I think we're in a spiritual period that is very similar to that period that they were in. And again, if we look at that first verse from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1, I'm going to read it to you again. Look at it with me, listen to what's being said, and see if that doesn't sound like today. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. Now when you first hear that, you think, yep, that's true, that sounds like today. But then your second thought is this. Well, no, wait a minute. That says that the word of the Lord was rare, and there was no widespread revolution. Well, that's not true. There's no widespread revelation. That's not true. And when you hear that, you think, that's not true today. The word of God is being spoken, and there is revelation that comes from the word of God. There's even prophecies that are being given. Yes, that's all very true. Thank you, Jesus. But here's the thing. Much of the church, much of the body of Christ has either rejected the word of God or compromised the word of God so that they can be found acceptable to the world. They're making themselves the evil sons of Eli, and that is not acceptable. So while the word of God, it's spoken, the word of God is spoken, the word of God is spoken with revelation in many churches across this country. This is true. And there is prophecy that is being given. We experience it here in this church almost on a weekly basis. Those things are all true. Thank you, Jesus. But much of the body of Christ has no tolerance for those things. Most of the body of Christ, much of the body of Christ has rejected those things. And that's why you and I, who understand these things, we need to learn to listen, hear His voice, know His voice. Know the word that He's speaking, and then speak that word. We need to be the ones who are doing that, hearing, speaking His word. This needs to be you and I on a daily basis. So Samuel's day was much like today. Follow me on this. Samuel's day was much like today. The word of the Lord was rare, and there was no widespread revelation. The word of the Lord was rare, and there was no widespread revelation. That was true in Samuel's day, and that's true in this day. But just because the word of the Lord was rare and there's no widespread revelation does not mean that those things didn't take place. So when I tell you that the word of the Lord is rare and there's no widespread revelation, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. Clearly it does. Thank you, Jesus. But those things are becoming less and less, becoming more and more rare because of the compromises that the body of Christ has. The compromises that the world is bringing into the body of Christ. When I say that the word of the Lord was rare and there was no widespread revelation, that's true today, just as it was true then. So when it said it in Samuel's, it didn't mean that there was no word of the Lord. When it said it was rare and there's no widespread revelation, it didn't mean it was not taking place. In fact, if you just look at the chapter that was right before this chapter, if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 2, you will see that a man of God came to Eli, and that man of God spoke the word of God to Eli. He spoke the word of God to Eli. He spoke God's word against Eli, against Eli's sons, and against Eli's descendants. And this is what he said. 1 Samuel 2, 34 and 35. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. That is a clear and direct word of God. It's a clear and direct word of God. So even while the word of God was rare and there was no widespread revelation, it doesn't mean that those things were not taking place. Doesn't mean that at all. It means exactly what it says. Those things were rare. They were not widespread. Well, today, the word of God is being spoken. Thank you, Jesus. There is revelation. Thank you, Jesus. There is prophetic words. Thank you, Jesus. But those things are becoming more and more rare as more and more compromise takes place. This is why it is paramount for you and I to understand these things so that we can, however much you hear the Lord, whatever your walk in the Lord is, whatever your personal relationship is, I guarantee you Jesus has more for you. I guarantee you wherever you're at, there's much, much more for you. And he wants each one of us to walk into it. So we need to learn more how to hear his voice, to listen, hear his voice, and recognize his voice as he is speaking to us. So those things were rare in those days. They're rare today. However, we can turn that around. We can turn that around today. Again, I'm going to read that verse again. We'll have this memorized. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1 again. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread, focus on that word, there was no widespread revelation. We can turn that around because here's the thing. The word of the Lord and the revelation of the word of the Lord is not rare here in these tabernacles of the Holy Spirit. It's not rare here. So we can turn this around. And we get a clue about this from that word widespread that's there. That word widespread in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1, the Hebrew word that is translated as widespread is the exact same Hebrew word that is translated in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 10, in that translation, though, from Hebrew to English, it's the same Hebrew word, but in that translation, the word is translated as overflow. Widespread, overflow. Why is that significant? Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. What is that talking about? Because this is all tied together to the widespread and widespread revelation. What does it mean when he says, your vats will overflow with new wine? Well, when the believers in Jesus Christ were baptized in the Holy Spirit, when they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit, and those who were watching mocked them. They mocked the believers. And they said, they must be filled with new wine. Insinuating that they were drunk. But Peter corrected them, and Peter said, no, what you are seeing is evidence of what Joel prophesied when Joel was prophesying about the coming and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So while there may be the Word of God more rare, and it may not be widespread revelation, if you and I will seek Jesus Christ, if we will pursue him and seek him with an audacity of faith, learning to listen and hear his voice, then what's going to happen is there is going to be an overflow of the new wine of the Holy Spirit through you. And as you hear the word of God and you know the word of God and you speak that word of God with boldness, there will be a widespread, because of the overflow of the new wine of the Holy Spirit, there will be a widespread revelation from the word that you speak. It'll be revelation not just to you, but revelation to those who hear. And even those who hear and didn't want to hear, it'll still be a widespread revelation. So all of us want to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. We all want to do that, but the problem is we don't have a great deal of certainty in our ability to recognize his voice as opposed to our own voice. Well, again, we learn a lesson from the example of Samuel. Samuel heard the voice of the Lord calling him. Samuel didn't yet recognize the voice of the Lord because Samuel did not yet know the voice of the Lord. And thinking that it was Eli calling, Samuel said, here I am. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. I finally moved on. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli, and he said, here I am, for you've called me. And he said, I did not call you. Go lie down again. And he went, and he laid down. Here I am. That phrase, here I am, it comes from a Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word means lo, behold. It means lo, look at me, behold. This is Samuel opening himself up. And in the context of this verse, that Hebrew word that we read as here I am, it means lo, behold. But in the context of this verse, it also means this, and I want you to see it as I read it. Here I am. In the context of this verse, it means a response to a call indicating the readiness. It's kind of like being prepared, huh, Tony? A response to a call indicating the readiness of the person addressed to listen or obey. A response to a call indicating the readiness of the person addressed to listen or obey. Just by hearing his name called, Samuel presents himself and says, here I am, I'm ready to listen, and I'm ready to obey. That needs to be our response as well. Even if you're not certain it's the voice of the Lord that you hear, even if you're not sure it's the voice of the Lord, your response should be, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I present myself to you. I am ready to listen and to obey. And if you will practice this, even when you're not sure, if you will practice this, then just like Ananias in the book of Acts, you will become so familiar with the voice of the Lord that you will recognize his voice and that you will respond with the same words. You will respond with that easy expectation and anticipation that we see from Ananias. Ananias said in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Now there was a certain individual, Donna, Terry, John, Dan. There was a certain individual at Perrysburg whose name was, fill in the blank there, and to him the Lord said in a vision, called his name, called your name, and said, here I am, Lord. If we will train ourselves and make the same practice of, even if you're not sure it's his voice, just say, I present myself. Here I am. I'm ready to learn and obey. You'll learn to recognize his voice and have that same easy anticipation of expectation that came from Ananias. Ananias heard his name. Here I am, Lord, ready to serve. Nice, easy, beautiful. So also note that when Samuel heard his name called, Samuel ran to serve. It's important to run to serve. If you think you hear the voice of the Lord calling you, you need to rush. You need to run. Drop everything else and make sure that you listen and learn to hear. Listen and hear the word that he is speaking to you. Because when you hear the word that he's speaking to you, you can then speak that word. And then here's what happens. That word that he gave you that you listened to and you learned to hear and that you then spoke, that word then runs swiftly ahead of you and it accomplishes his will. It runs ahead of you to accomplish his will. If you go back and you look at the story of Jonah, one of my favorite parts about the story of Jonah, who did not want to deliver the word of God that God gave that he was to speak to Nineveh. He didn't want to do that. But reluctantly, after he got thrown up by a fish and figured this is probably after he had seen death, gets thrown up by a great fish, I should go do what the Lord told me to do. So he goes to Nineveh, reluctantly, but he goes and he speaks the word of God. Now, the Bible makes clear to us that Nineveh was such a huge city that it took 3 days to cross the entirety of the city. It's a big city. All Jonah did was fulfill what he was supposed to do. He just enters into the city and he speaks the word that God gave him to speak. That's all he did. But the word that he spoke, because it was the word of God that he listened to, that he heard, he spoke that word of God, and the word of God went before him. The word of God went like wildfire through Nineveh. Because Jonah never got to go speak to the king. But the word that Jonah spoke went through the city, and it arrived at the ears of the king. And the king said, we need to repent with sackcloth and ashes. This is the word from the king. Everybody repents. The point is, if you will learn to listen and hear the voice of Jesus Christ as he's speaking to you, and you will learn the word that he gives you, the word that he's speaking to you, and as you speak that word, again, privately or in public, as you speak that word's going to run ahead of you. It's going to swiftly run ahead of you to accomplish his will. The word that you speak, even though you may never speak to kings or presidents or great leaders, your word can still run ahead of you And your word will speak to leaders and kings if we will learn to listen, hear his voice, recognize his voice, hear the word that he's speaking, and then speak that word. Amen? Everybody still with me? Selah. So one final thing that I want us to consider today, we're not done, but one final thing I want us to consider today concerning learning to listen and hear the voice of the Lord. And it's something that comes directly from Jesus. It's what Jesus spoke to the church. It's what Jesus spoke specifically to the church of Laodicea in his letter in Revelations. This is what he spoke. This is Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. Now, commonly this verse is used, and this verse is taught almost always. It's taught as a salvation message. Yes, it's taught that this is Jesus standing at the door of someone who doesn't believe and knocking and saying, if you'll open the door, I will come in. It's used to invite people into salvation. That's not what's being said here. Because remember, who is Jesus writing this letter to? He's writing it to a church. These are believers. They've already believed in Jesus Christ. They've already accepted the gift of salvation. This is a message to you and I who have already been won. We are already saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus saying to you and I, if anyone will listen and hear my voice and will not turn away but will run towards me, I will dine. I will enter in and dine with them. This is talking about Jesus. He's telling us what he will do. If we will learn to listen and hear his voice, he will come to dine with us. This is talking about the fellowship of Jesus Christ. This is a deeper, more intimate walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. And to really fully understand that verse, let me remind you of something that we learned probably almost a year ago today. Last year, we started off the year, like the first 2 months, January and February, we were going through the book of Psalm, or we're going through Psalm 23. So remember what we learned from Psalm 23, verse number 5, which says this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is Jesus dining with us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Certainly, we live in difficult times. There are evil. We are surrounded by evil plots and plans from the enemy. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus has prepared a table for you. He's prepared a table where you can sit down daily with him and you can dine with him. He has prepared a table for you and I. He has made that table so that we can learn to grow in him and we can have that deeper, more intimate relationship with him. Jesus is knocking at your door today. He's knocking on your door every single day, knocking on your door so you and I will open the door so he can come in and dine with us, that we can sit down with him and he can dine with us. When God talked about this in Psalm 23, verse number 5, this was evidence. This was to show so that the world would see God is faithful to those he loves. It was to show his tender, loving care for his own so that the world would see that God was faithful to his covenant promises. Well, Jesus is knocking on your door every single day, saying, open the door, learn to listen and hear, and I will come in and I will dine with you. And then you and I, we can learn to listen and hear. With a great audacity of faith, we can learn to listen and hear and then speak the word that he gives us to speak. And it will bring widespread revelation, not just to you, that'll be a part of it, but to those that are around you, both in the body of Christ and in the world as well. It's time of transition, time of the church. You and I need to be the ones who learn to listen, hear his voice, recognize his voice, and speak the word that he speaks to us. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your great love for us. Yes. We thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you that it's your desire to speak with us and that you are speaking to us. Moment by moment, we say, speak, Lord. Your servants hear. We open up our ears because you've given us the ears of the learned. We open up our ears to hear, to listen, to recognize your voice so that we obey. We present ourselves to you today. Here I am, ready to listen and obey. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for moving through us and using us. And it is all to your glory. In your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's stand up and close in a song of praise.